This is wonderful. So I got to dodge the bullet this morning on the gospel reading. I was like, oh, I don't get to talk about tearing out your eyes. Oh, good. I'll talk about Francis instead. But actually, I do think, you know, that gospel, Jesus uses hyperbole, right? I just want to say this. And so does Francis. St. Francis loved, a lot of his stories are also very hyperbolic. And they get your attention. And that's a lot of the point. So I'll just say that much about it. But Francis definitely is one of those saints that will get your attention. And we're celebrating St. Francis Day. It's a big day in the church. He's one of my favorite saints. And we get to bless the animals a little bit later after this. But if you didn't know, Francis is the patron saint of animals and the environment. And today's also the last day of our season of creation. We get to close it out with a bang. And our reading from Job this morning is one of those mini scripture passages, because there's actually many of them, where we are reminded of God's love and care, not just for the humans, but for all creatures, for all of God's creation, all these unique and varied animals in this world. Now, many of the stories of St. Francis do involve animals. Like I mentioned to the kids, right? His sermon to the birds. But one of my favorites is the story of the wolf of Gubbio. Here at St. Dunstan's, we have a St. Francis statue. Does anybody know where it is? Out in the Memorial Garden. That's right. A lot of churches throughout, all over San Diego, you'll see them. You'll see different depictions of St. Francis. I know at St. James, where I used to serve, there's a giant stained glass window of St. Francis standing next to the wolf of Gubbio. So whenever I would do the children's moment there, I would ask the children, you know, we talk about the wolf. And we had a tradition of telling jokes, wolf jokes. There's actually a lot of wolf jokes. One of my favorites. What did the wolf say when he sat on sandpaper? Rough. So the kids like that one. They remember that one. I got told that many more times after I told it. But in the story of St. Francis and the Wolf of Gubbio, I think there's some very good lessons here for us. You see that St. Francis, of course, approaches this wolf, Brother Wolf, he says. He interacts with Brother Wolf as though he were a beloved creature of God, despite the wolf's ferocity and the fact that that wolf was really despised by that point. The wolf had been terrorizing their town, killing livestock, killing animals, and the people were just fed up. And they thought maybe St. Francis could help us. So St. Francis not only approaches this wolf, not as an enemy to be scorned, or not as a creature without any value, but in the story, Francis approaches the wolf as a kindred, as a brother, as a sibling in God's creation, just as he, of course, would address the other animals. And, all, of course, remember all the other aspects in nature, brother, sun, sister, moon, right? And he approaches this wolf saying, brother wolf, right? And he understands. He's like, I know you're starving and you're hungry. He's looking at the need here. He's also, in the story, he talks to the people of Gubbio themselves. And he makes them aware that they have a responsibility to care for this wolf because he's starving. And he encourages then a peaceful and a more mutual relationship between them. Francis moves the people and the wolf from enmity to a peaceful and ultimately mutually blessed relationship, because then the wolf also becomes part of their community. He stops, of course, killing their animals. He's actually taken care of by the people in a way that the wolf becomes so beloved that in the story, they genuinely grieve this loss when the wolf dies, right? Which many of us, we can relate to, right? When a loved, beloved animal, a pet dies, how much that can impact us, how hard it can be, because they truly have the ability to become part of our family, like Violet was saying. And they become essential even in some cases and become a part of the loving circle that we may have. in our lives. And I think that this story of the Wolf of Gubbio is really fulfilling that Franciscan prayer, right? To let me sow love, right? Instead of hate, to bring peace and be a peacemaker. Now, okay, we'll be honest. Some of the stories about Francis or some of the saints, they sound a little far-fetched, right? Like, that's just got to be pure legend. There can't be any real truth to it. But ha, there is historical evidence to this Wolf of Gubbio story. Tradition had it, but the people of Gubbio loved this wolf so much when he died that they built a church over him and dedicated the church to St. Francis. And then, you know, probably lost to history. But the tradition remained. Then in 1874, they had to go in and do a lot of work on the church, do some more construction, renovate it. And indeed, they found the remains of a very large wolf under the church slab. So I, for one, believe the Wolf of Gubbio story. I think he really existed. But regardless, the story of this wolf has, I think, a valuable spiritual lesson that actually aligns with Holy Scripture. We read it first in the Job lesson today of the animals and God's care and concern for them. The lessons, did you notice, when God is speaking to Job? The lessons the animals have to teach us? And then our reading from James reminds us, if you paid attention, that God answers prayers related to nature and the weather. Our wonderful creation series that Professor Lisa has helped lead us in was a great reminder. She reminded us many times of the need to pray about our world, our earth, to pray about the disasters, right? This is we are enjoined to do so here, I believe, in Scripture. Then we have, of course, that difficult reading from the gospel. But notice at the end, Jesus is calling us to good works like salt, right? He says salt is good. And to be like salt, and thus what he equates that to is to being at peace with one another. Or think of the sixth chapter of Matthew, where Jesus tells us, as I mentioned to the kids, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. Now, this word look in the Greek means to really gaze, to ponder, right? And he explains to us how God cares for and feeds the birds. And so just as we see God's love and care for the birds, so we can be assured of God's love and care for us. He goes on to say, and consider the lilies, right? Consider the lilies. Again, this word consider in the Greek. It means to really study, to really examine, look into, study, consider the flowers. Emily Dickinson once wrote, consider the lilies, the only commandment I ever obeyed. Clearly, we have something to learn then as we observe God's creation and care for it. We are invited to pause, to ponder nature, which is something of I hope we've been doing throughout this creation season in our many prayers. I think of Alice Walker's writing in her book, The Color Purple. Great book, right? And I won't use the exact word she uses, but I think this gets to this consider the lilies. She writes, I think it annoys God if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. Right? I mean, just that invitation. God's creation, nature, animals, it should draw us in and remind us that it all matters to God. And so it should matter to us. Indeed, Scripture invites us into a different and broader way of seeing the natural world as more than just a resource for us to be used and used up. In fact, like the wolf of Gubbio's story, we humans often take on actions or attitudes of enmity with God's creation. And we do. Just think of some of the words we use for some of those critters like pests. Or how about the human word nuisance wildlife, right? And our response to such animals. Or the fact that we continue to actively destroy, we know, the rainforests. We're destroying our coral reefs. We're poisoning our water systems. We are depleting, I mean extreme depletion of the fish in our oceans. The intense polluting of the environment with things like the absolute abject misery of factory farms. I mean, the list goes on, right? Every year, the U.S. declares another mass extinction of other and new species. So in 2023, if you didn't know, we lost 21 species, from a variety of birds to fish to frogs. Their kind are just gone from this planet forever. In 2024, the alarm has been raised because we're on the verge of losing rhinos, the most poached animal on the planet. Some pretty big animals make the top of the list where they're sounding the alarm for extinction. Tigers, turtles, elephants, and gorillas are among the most endangered on our planet. Animals, I believe, and this is what we're seeing happen, is a revelation to us. It is revealing to us what I truly believe is sin. Sin that we commit upon our environment, on our earth, and of course the effects then of climate change. What Scripture and Jesus and Francis are inviting us to do is broaden our perspective. Broaden it enough to see God's incredible love and care that's just reflected back to us in nature, in creation itself, with God's incredible love and care, and the potential for peace between us, like those villagers and the wolf. We have to ask whether there aren't other and better attitudes and solutions or actions we could take. What would it look like if we related to all God's creation, to the natural world, not as enemies or as just merely resources to be consumed, but as brothers and sisters like Francis did, to see creation as part of God's beloved valued treasure on this earth that we all must share? What would it look like to have a more mutually beneficial relationship and a sense of greater loving responsibility like we were charged with in the garden in our day-to-day lives? How would that benefit then not just creation or the land or animals, but us, ourselves? I mean, even if we're selfish about it, there's a lot there to consider. And I believe that St. Francis, I believe the Scriptures truly do invite us to consider, to study, to examine, to ponder the lilies and the birds, the forests, the seas, the land, the rivers, the wolves, and there discover lessons of God's love and care for all creation that is really calling us to change. Amen.